Good evening, folks. Good to be able to join you tonight through our live stream service. This is a little bit unconventional, but different times calls for different types of measures, and we're doing whatever we can to still try to uplift and encourage Christians, but also share an encouraging word to those that may not be a Christian yet, and to let them know that, hey, Jesus loves you and he died for you and he's willing to save you today. Tonight we'll be in the book of John, chapter 11, one of my favorite books of the Bible, or chapters of the Bible. Very encouraging and familiar portion of scripture here tonight. But while you're fumbling, getting your phone, your app, or Bible turned to John chapter 11, feel free tonight in the chat to comment. I do have my phone. I'm watching as I can. I'll try to interact as I can when I'm done preaching. Feel free to leave any prayer requests. We'll cover those at the end of the message tonight, or just try to encourage others. But we encourage you to share this stream with others. I know 7:30 on a Saturday night is a little bit different time to hear preaching, but in the circumstances we're in right now, I think this was the best time. Let's think about it. I mean, you can't go to a restaurant and sit down and eat with your family right now. You can't go to the movies. You can't go out to, or at least you shouldn't want to go to Walmart or anywhere like that. So, I just figured what better time to come and come together and try to uplift and encourage one another. John chapter 11 tonight. Feel free to move along with us as we preach and study God's Word tonight. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." I'm going to stop right there. This sickness that is going on right now in our country, I don't believe that the whole reason is just to call death and pain or anything else. Yes, it could cause that, but I think it's being used in a way by God to glorify God. Number one, I think that God's going to use it to turn His children back to Him. People should have a refreshed commitment to Him. They should have a renewed relationship and conversations. People should start concentrating on their heavenly Savior again, and that's what this country needs more than anything. We say that we want revival. The key to revival is, if my people shall humble themselves and pray, then will I hear their prayers and heal their land. Folks, we want to see this stuff resolve. Christians, God's people, need to humble themselves and pray. Seek out an altar somewhere. Go to your prayer closet and cry out to God that God will intervene in this circumstance. But I also believe that God is going to use this for His glory. Thereby, when Christians truly turn back to Him, we're going to start being more active, and we're going to try to reach the lost. There's going to be more people hear the gospel message in the upcoming days. And I believe that has been in years. And it's because pastors are getting outside of their comfort zones, and they're wanting to get the gospel message out by any means. I've seen drive-through churches. I've seen drive-in churches. I've seen churches investing in live stream equipment. And it is awesome. And it's not to bring glory to a church or a pastor or anything like that. No, it's to see that the gospel message does not stop getting out. Now, verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he see the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he's asleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoke of the taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yes, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. And now Jesus was not come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. And the Jews then which were with her in the house and comfort her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, following her, saying, She goes out to the grave to weep. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should have not died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, come to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks. For he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou would believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had this spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word. And we thank you for each and every one that's watching tonight. Lord, I pray that you bless them in a mighty way. Lord, I ask you to touch us through your word. Lord, if there be one that's watching tonight that's saved or that's lost, Lord, I pray that they will ask you to save them tonight. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd ask you to be seated, but you probably already are. The title tonight would be An On-Time God. Now, with things the way they are right now, nothing is working on time. The airlines are all messed up. Travel is all messed up. If you go to Walmart, it is all messed up. The supply and demand is all messed up. But I want to tell you tonight, even though we are not perfect and we are not always on time and things kind of inconvenience us from time to time, there has been one person in all eternity that has never been late. He's never been too early, but he's always been on time, and that's God Almighty. And even when we think that he's late, he's not. He's right on time. The way that he created everything that we have today, it was said that it was made perfect, and it was made perfect. Right on time. Think about the sunrise that we have to look forward to in the morning. You know, we can track how the sun comes up and the time that the sun sets. Why? Because God works on perfect time. God gives promises. But he executes, he lives out and he works those promises in his own time. You know, it took Abraham over 25 years to have a son that God had promised him. Folks, he keeps his promises. We may think that we're alone in this dark time and everything, but God has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And in the midst of the troubles, he is going to show up in the situation and it's going to be right on time. Now here in our scripture tonight, we find that Jesus has showed up to a funeral late. In other words, they've already buried his friend, and he comes 4 days after the funeral. 4 days after he's been in the grave. And we may say, how could the all-knowing Savior be late? How could he be late? If he knows everything, how could he be late? Can I tell you, he did know everything. He knew that Lazarus has died when he said that he sleeps. He knew that Lazarus had died because he does know everything. But he was right on time for this situation. You see, Jesus loved this family just like he loves you. We read over in Luke chapter 10 that Martha had slaved over a meal, and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and just listened to Jesus speak. Mary was the one who anointed Jesus' feet before his death. Now, Lazarus was his friend. Now, the name Lazarus, that name means assistance of God. And it points out the fact that no matter what our circumstances are, we all need God's help. That there's an old song that you all know, the song, I Can't Even Walk Without Him Holding My Hand. Folks, if there's ever been a day that you've needed Christ to come along and hold your hand and help you get through this, it's today. Is today. Right now, our country is in shambles. People are panicking and don't know what they're going to do tomorrow. But I can tell you, God is where we need to be looking to. God is the answer. He is our helper. He is our refuge in our time of need. God has the answers. And if we've ever needed Him to intervene on our behalf, it's today. And I truly believe when He does, when He speaks the word, that's enough. It's going to be right on time. In verse 3, they said that it says that Jesus was sent word that his friend was sick. Now, it says there, "Behold, he whom thou love is sick." Notice they didn't say, "Hey, your friend that loves you and appreciates you and thinks a lot of you." They didn't say that. You see, because the reason they worded it this way is because our love for God is nothing to speak of. Because it's not comparable for His love that He has for us. Folks, Jesus loves you. God loves you. He loved you enough to send His only Son to die on Calvary's cross only because He loves you. It wasn't because we were good enough for Him. No, we were. The Bible says there's not one good except Christ. But look at the response from Jesus when He hears that that Lazarus is sick. He says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Jesus didn't rush off. He waited. He waited. The one that had the power to just speak the words right where He was standing, He could have spoken, "Lazarus be healed," and He would have been healed. He would have been made pure. He'd been made perfect, and He'd been situated right then. He didn't have to be there to heal him. There could have been, if Jesus wanted to travel that route that day, there would have been nothing that would have been able to stop Him. Nothing could have stopped Him. So why does Jesus wait and let a man die that we clearly know that He loves? Why does He wait till he's dead before He sets out to help him? Imagine you get a call from a loved one and they say, "Hey, your loved one's sick. They're on their deathbed and you need to come to them." Now what if you responded, "Well, I'm a little busy at the moment. I'll try to make it there in a few days." What would your friend or loved one who made that phone call to you, what would they think of you? You see, we don't think like Christ thinks. We think that we got to go right now. And we don't think about what the future may hold. But see, right here, Christ was looking at the bigger picture. He said, "This whole situation I already know about. And this situation is going to be used for my glory. It's going to be used to where other people can know that I am who I say I am." He's an on-time God, folks. If Christ would have went immediately and healed the sickness of Lazarus, or if He had just spoke the words where He is standing, this healing would have been awesome. It would have been miraculous. It would have been awesome. But it would have not been any greater than any other healing that He had performed at that time. Now look at verse 14 or 15, and 15 if you've got your Bibles with you. "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." Lazarus is dead. "And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." By allowing Lazarus to die, he was going to gain the opportunity to prove just who he said he was. You see, sometimes God's greatest intentions and plans for your life are sometimes and oftentimes off after some of the longest delays. You've been praying for something. I don't know what it is. You just put your circumstance there. You've been praying for it for a long time. The greatest glory that God could get is after he works in your situation. And it's always on his time. His timing is perfect. You see, sometimes God's delay is good for us. Our timing is not perfect, but his is. You see, sometimes for Christians, he may be testing your faith. Testing your faith. He may be putting all the pieces in order to where at the end of the day, what might look like a puzzle that's just in shambles, when he puts it together, it's a masterpiece. It reminds me a lot of Bob Ross paintings. He would say, we're just going to put a little dab over here and a dab and a little happy tree over there and all that. And you think, when he first starts drawing these lines and everything, and it's like, what is this dude doing? But when he's done, it's a beautiful picture. The same as through God's trials in our life. You see, God doesn't move on our time. He moves on his time, on his perfect time. You see, sometimes he's preparing you for the task at hand. You see that sometimes the upcoming trial that you're going into, or maybe the next upcoming phase of your life, you're not ready for it yet. Your faith may not be on the level that needs to be for your next upcoming duty for the Lord. So he may be waiting so that he can use you for his glory. And I also say this, sometimes we may not come out of the trial that we're in on this side of glory. Now, with everything that's going on in our world right now, that's not what people want to hear. People want to hear hope and certainty. It's not encouraging at all to tell people that you may not come out of this trial you're in. I want to tell you, on this side of glory, you may not. In heaven, it'll be gone. But on earth, it may stay. One of the most powerful and most greatest preachers of all time, Brother Charles Spurgeon, he was known as the Prince of Preachers. He preached the gospel to literally hundreds of thousands of people. And it is said that he personally baptized over 15,000 people. 15,000 people. Now I see that my cousin and my brother in Christ, Brother Caleb from Remnant Church, is watching. Brother, how awesome would it be for us to have the opportunity to baptize 15,000 believers into the body of Christ. Man, it just gave me goosebumps just thinking about that. But while he was preaching one day, someone pulled a prank at this very large church that he was preaching in. They pulled a fire alarm. And while this fire alarm was going off, through the evacuation and people trying to get out of the building and everything, back then there was not as many emergency exits and stuff like that. It was just basically one door you're going in and out of, and everybody's just hurrying to get out. In the midst of that prank, it killed 7 and left 28 injured severely. And it said, and even on his account, he said that his mind was never the same again. His wife wrote in a later documentary about her husband that she feared that her husband would never preach again. It wasn't much longer that Spurgeon lost his grandson as well. Soon after that, he would be clinically diagnosed with depression. Soon after that, he started dealing with kidney disease, gout, and other physical ailments. But it was said of him, by his own words, even though I was depressed, even though people had to literally drag me around to do what I needed to do, he said at those times he drew closer to God than he had ever been before. And God used him, and it was not for his glory, it was for God's glory. He never came out of depression. He always had it from that point on of his life. He always had it on this side of heaven. He never came out of it. But God sustained him. God carried him in the midst of that battle, in the midst of that depression. Folks, God can carry you through what you're going through. Warren Wiersbe said this, God's love for his own is not a pampering love. It is a perfecting love. You see, we are tried by fire. The way silver is made is it's cast out, and it is to get all the imperfections and the impurifications out, is a blacksmith or silversmith, they take that iron and they stick it in the fire, and they stick that silver in the fire. And the reason, and they know that it's done, is when you can see the reflection of your face in it. Sometimes the battle and the trial that you're going in is to purify you, to make you stronger, to make you purer, to make you better, so that when people look on you, they don't see you anymore. They just say, man, Jesus is doing a work in that old boy or woman's life. It's a perfecting love, not a pampering love. You see, Jesus knew this family. He loved them. He knew the distress and the pain and the sorrow that Mary and Martha were in. He knew their hurt and he knew their pain. But even though he had not arrived with them yet, Jesus was all-knowing enough that he knew that Lazarus was dead. And it said, hey, let's go. Let's go. I want you to know that God knows right where you are tonight. He knows what you're going through. Lost or saved, God knows your heart. You may fool a preacher, you may fool mom and daddy, but you will never fool God. But it says Jesus went to Martha in verse 25. It says Jesus showed up and he told her, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Even though in the midst of our battles, it may feel like God has left us. But I want to remind you tonight, he knows right where you are. He knows what you need, so don't give up. Just hang in there. Because God is working in your life. But he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You see, when God says that he's going to save you, and when he saves you, he goes, and Christ said himself later on, he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Even though we may die on this earth, even though we may die on this earth, it says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We were talking about it today. There's been several men. There's been so much conversations. Well, the world's going in. And it may. I don't know. Only God knows. But I can tell you, it's getting close. But we were talking and we were joking and cutting up. But it was serious. One of my brothers said, You know, everybody's worried about if the world's going to end. If you're saved, go ahead and end. We've already won. We've got the victory. And heaven's going to be a whole lot sweeter than this old world's going to be. Now look at verse 32 through 38. Sometimes in the midst of our trials, we'll ask, you know, God, when are you going to move in this situation? It says, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And when he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And it was said that Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should have not died? And Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, come to the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he hath been dead 4 days. You see, we ask the question, how long will God wait? Well, the answer was given there in verse 39. And we won't like this answer, but sometimes God waits to move until the situation really, really stinks. When it's really gotten bad and you see no way out, it's then that when God provides a way, and it's then when God gets all the glory. Because sometimes when we get down and we think things are bad, but we've always made comments, well, sometimes you just got to hit rock bottom. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes you've got to get so low that the only place that you can look is look up. And it's there where our help comes from. And it's not from a government or politicians or your brother and sister or your mom and dad. It's from God is where our help comes from. You see, when God provides a way, when He moves in a situation, that's when He gets all the glory. Because He knows what you need. And He knows when you need it. You see, the Christian life isn't always an easy one. Read the book of 1 Peter. It'll tell you pretty plain. It's going to be hard. But the reward that we have waiting in heaven is going to be so good that we can't even imagine it. Now, verses 40 through 44. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou would believe, thou should see the glory of God. When they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus laid up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you hear me always. But because the people which stand by, I said it out loud, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. You see, in this situation, people needed to see more of Jesus than just Jesus the friend. More than just Jesus the buddy. He needed to be seen as the Son of God. You see, we see God as our Savior. But let's just be honest. We don't allow Him to be the Lord of our lives. People want a Savior, but they don't want to be controlled. Let me tell you, in the midst of this situation, people needed Jesus as a Son of God. today, Christians more than ever before need to look towards Jesus as the Son of God, the one that can help us and sustain us in our time of need. Our situation may be bad, and you may think that we're not going to make it through. But just in the instant that we think that there's not going to be any hope for our situation, Jesus can speak on your behalf. And whatever it is that you're going through, whatever that stone may be that's covering up your grave, God can remove it from your life. We're told that God hears our cries. He hears our prayers. He hears our concerns. He hears our troubles. And just when you think that there's no way that your situation is going to change, our Savior will show up on the scene, and with the sound of His voice, your situation can change in an instant. Tonight you may be in the midst of a battle. You see and you feel like there's no end in sight. But can I tell you, Christ knows. And if He can show up on the scene of a dead man 4 days after he'd been in the grave, if He can show up at that type of scenario and call His name and raise Him from the dead, then He can handle your situation today. So I want to encourage you tonight. Don't look to the media for answers. Don't look for a politician for answers. Look to God tonight for answers. People are worried. People have uncertainty. Folks, God knew about this before we even thought about it. He's got it under control. He's got it under control. So whatever your burden is tonight, won't you give it to God? Give it to God. Or maybe tonight you felt like the Lord has been dealing with your heart. You've heard that me mention about Christians and salvation and being a child of God. And you want to experience that. Can I tell you, it's as easy as just asking God to save you. Admit you're a sinner. Ask Him to save you. And the Bible says He'll save you right where you are, just how you are. You see, we're none good. We're just all sinners. What separates us is some of us have God's grace on our life. Tonight you can have that. Just ask Him to save you, and He'll save you right where you are. But maybe tonight you're in need of prayer. Maybe you're in the midst of something. So tonight, as I'm winding up, why don't you comment your prayer need? Or maybe you have a name of a person. We don't need to know the circumstance. Maybe they're lost. Maybe they're going through a battle. But they need a touch from God. Why don't you comment that name in our live stream tonight? Folks, Jesus loves you. He loves you. We love you too, but He loves you a whole lot more than we do. And we will do our best to lift up your burden with you. If you've not heard anything else tonight, Jesus loves you, and He died for you. So I want to encourage you, Christian, in the days to come, let's not act like those that have no hope. As Paul said in Thessalonians, we are not to act like we have no hope. In other words, act like you're saved. Act like you know that you have a Savior in glory that is watching down on us, that's got it all under control. He's an on-time God tonight. He's an on-time God. I pray for you tonight that this was a blessing to your heart, and it be for